publishing since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1262. This is your host, Danny Pena, and this is a special podcast episode here on GTR. Thank you for listening. Just a few hours ago, Kinda Funny SCAST just released an interview with Phil Spencer about everything that's been going on for like the past few weeks about the acquisition, getting blocked at the in UK. Also, the reviews of Redfall. And a bunch of other stuff. And it was a great, great interview. Shout out to Mike, to Gary, and also our very own Paris for doing this interview with Phil. I believe it was like around 40-something minutes or so. And it's highly, I highly, highly recommend for you guys to watch this. Just go right now on either YouTube or any other podcast app and just search for the interview with SCAST and just check it out. So after that, you know, there's been feedback about the interview from everybody, from the community, all over the news. And Paris decided to go on Twitter Spaces and he recorded a session. You know, people have been calling in and, you know, talk about their thoughts about the interview overall. And it was a great conversation. I actually recorded it. I texted actually Paris. I'm like, hey, Paris, this is a good Spaces. I'm going to put it on the podcast and everything. So I know we did that a couple weeks back. We did that with a previous Spaces that he recorded and everything. So so I'm going to play this Twitter Spaces about the reaction of the interview with Phil Spencer. And I would like for you guys to check it out and let me know your thoughts. Remember to send emails to us, questions and all that stuff, all through SpeakPipe, our official hotline. And we'll play it here on Gamertag Radio. So here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's play this Twitter Spaces. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. Thank you, everyone, for listening and enjoy the conversation. Here it goes.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Yeah, first off, I want to say you guys did a good interview, man. You know, You asked the tough questions. I personally felt like when he was talking about the whole, sorry, I'm still outside. I personally felt like when he was talking about, because I see a lot of people on Twitter commenting on like, you can't make good games, you can't get ahead. And I want you to clarify what you think he meant, because I personally feel like he meant, look, we got a lot more to do than just make games. And this industry is more than just making good games. Obviously, making good games is the majority of that hill, but I want you to clarify what you think he meant by that.
Yeah, I was just saying to the previous gentleman, I saw it more as, look, Starfield could be a 25 out of 10. It could be the greatest game of all time, but Starfield on its own is not going to magically flip the quote-unquote hardware console war, whatever you want to call it, right? To all of a sudden now Xbox is on par with what PlayStation is doing is from hardware sales. I took it as it is going to take them a long time to make up for the mistakes of the last generation. And the only way you're going to do that is create quality games consistently. Because again, bringing PlayStation back into this, and I say this all the time, PlayStation, in my personal opinion, has been pretty consistent with their library since about 2014. Whether you like them, the games that come out or not, they make good quality AAA experiences that, you know, obviously they're the leaders in the clubhouse, and they have been for a while. And because Xbox has not been able to replicate that the last generation, you can't magically walk into this one and expect, all right, well, we, and it's the thing that I even said to him, you announced all these games in 2020. Great. Again, I'm going to just be raw again. What are they? Right? Where are they?
Yeah.
And that's the point.
And my second part that I really want to, like, do you feel like he kind of like hyped up Starfield even more? Because I feel like he put a lot of emphasis behind, like, look, we understand Redfall definitely wasn't what everyone expected. It was underperforming in a lot of areas. And like he like referred to, maybe we should have been more in that studio, because it sounded like they were putting a lot of their candy in the Starfield basket.
Well, it's funny because, again, we didn't have enough time. I had, even after he was talking about that, I made a note I was going to bring up Starfield. And I don't know if Snowbike Mike is still in here. Snowbike Mike even brought up Starfield like very toward the end, but it was so quick, we couldn't elaborate on it.
Yeah, he only got a certain amount of time to talk to these people.
I don't know if he, because again, you don't want to publicly put a bunch of pressure on one particular game or one studio. But the reality of it is, there is a lot of pressure on Starfield now. There just is. There's no way around that. There 100% is a lot of pressure on Starfield. And I thought it was interesting as he was talking about Redfall and just the struggles that Arkane had, you know, during the quality control process. He mentioned, oh, no, no. We got our people and resources in there to help out Starfield a lot earlier in the process. I think, and again, I don't know nothing, but in my personal opinion, they know there needs to be all hands on deck for that game. That is the flagship game for 2023. That is, and this is why I even said to Phil, you should have just delayed Redfall. Redfall should have never come out now, in my opinion, because it, and I said this on XCast prior, it is doing more damage being launched than it would have said, oh, we're delaying it to 2024, because you were charging me $70 for this. And he acknowledged in an interview, but you're charging me $70 for this. And this is your first salvo into, this is our next gen only. There's no Xbox One ties. This is a Series X/S only game. And you're charging me $70 for it. And you launched it in this state. I thought it was, and I know I'm tangent a little bit, but I thought it was good that Gary followed up on that saying, hey, you didn't catch this during your internal processes. That's not good. That's not good. This game, whether this was Arkane's creative vision or not, this was not ready for prime time. And it damn sure wasn't ready to be your first vision of what next gen, showing the power of the Series X and everything that you can do. They'd have been better off saying, you know what? Redfall just ain't ready yet. We're giving Arkane more time. See you in 2024. Starfield in September. They'd have been better off doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In my personal
opinion. My last question before I head out of here. Do you think this is the most pressure Phil's been under the entire time he's been in this position?
How could it not be? I would say from a pressure standpoint, it's as much, if not more, than when he initially took the job back at the start of the Xbox One.
Because
there was obviously a lot of heavy lifting and work that needed to be done during the Xbox One era to even get to this point. And that's why I even said specifically, I have been a fan of what Xbox has been building since about 2016, because all the services and everything is lining up perfect except for one critical thing: consistent quality games from their internal studios. That is literally the last piece. And he said it during the interview. I don't expect you to believe me at this point. I don't expect anyone to believe that we're going to do this until you start having these games with a controller in your hand. You're playing these games. At this point, Showcase can be all the glitz and glamour it wants to be. Great. Give me Starfield. Give me Hellblade. Give me Avowed. Give me Perfect Dark. Give me whatever the hell Compulsion Games is working on. Explain to me what Everwild is. Until they start doing that, it's lip service. And he knows that. And that's why you could tell, as we were talking to him, there is clearly a frustration at his level over this, because they know they have to start delivering.
I don't know if you caught it, which I'm sure you did, when he was talking about games coming out soon. Hellblade was part of that conversation.
Yeah, it was. And I've thought for the longest that Hellblade would be the end of this year. Because, again, think about it. Hellblade 2 was the first game that we saw in 2019, along with the reveal of the Series X. We're now in 2023. It better come out. It needs to come out. Yep. If it's not, then be crystal clear. Again, communication. Be crystal clear as to why Ninja Theory needs more time, why we're entering year, I guess, what, five of knowing about this game if it does not come out at the end of this year.
Yeah, I hear you. So I'll get going because I know there's a lot, some other people want to talk. First of all, I do want to, you know, it was a good interview, Paris. It was good. You know, we disagree a lot, but this is something we don't disagree on.
Hey, we'll stop being wrong about stuff. I'm kidding.
All right, you got something good there.
All right, I'll catch you later, man. No, Ed is good people. Love Ed. He's right. We don't always have to agree. But let me see who's next, and I'm going to try and go through this a little more quickly here.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good, good.
I wanted to state that personally, I don't believe Redfall would have ever been ready on UE4. I felt like the scope was too high. But also, a lot of these engines like UE, Unity, all the popular engines, they're not really fully capable of taking advantage of DX12U. And so a lot of these teams have to modify these engines with their own code and essentially making their own engine based on like Unreal, for example. Now Unreal utilizes mesh shaders and Nanite and things of that nature. But what I'm trying to get to is that they're not the Coalition, right? The Coalition has a team of programmers. They have engineers out the yin yang. That's how they can be masters of Unreal. So when these other teams, and I see that they're working on Unreal and they don't have the same amount of people, I automatically think disaster. And so and that's what you have been seeing from Unreal and really and truly with the Jedi game, with Redfall, with a lot of these games. And so I feel like, you know, as far as Xbox and the disappointment thing that people are feeling or whatnot, it's game development is hard. It really is. And I'm not giving them a pass. I really think that they need to remove the kids gloves and actually grab it by the horns. And I'm not saying he's not trying because obviously he is, but I feel like there has been a rubber banding here because the Microsoft of old was very cutthroat. And this new Microsoft, I guess, is trying to be a little more gentler when it comes to the developer and forcing things. And so, and I can understand both perspectives, but there needs to be kind of like a middle ground here. Or at least like 60% towards the right, you know? And so that's just my take on it. I'm trying to make a game right now and get into their indie program. I have some things to complete, but I know where everything sits now. And so I don't believe I'm going to be utilizing Unreal unless something changes.
Yeah. It was interesting what he said during that point, talking about Arcane Austin, and then at the end, when they did reach out for some assistance, they came in, the Coalition and Rare came in to kind of help them because they had obviously more experience with the Unreal Engine. I think to your overall point of what you're saying is, because this is what I took from it, that it's clear that maybe Xbox has been a little too hands-off with some of their studios, especially obviously bringing in Bethesda. Bethesda's been pretty much running still as an independent company. It does seem like, because I think what he said was things that are early in the process, they're definitely more hands-on to kind of help guide them to get them in. But the ones that were coming in from the acquisition that were already in progress, they kind of stayed more hands-off. And they realize now, hey, even during the middle of a development cycle, maybe we do need to be a little more hands-on and come in and provide assistance and resources to these teams, because this is what I took from it. I am not saying this is the truth. This is what I took from it. I took from it that Arcane was working independently, doing their thing on Redfall, and Microsoft trusted their vision and their process, and they were not going to come in and meddle and micromanage because you were already in development. And that kind of backfired because here we are getting to the last minute, already a year delay. Wait, we can't hit 60 frames. We can't do this. We can't do that. Please help us. When maybe Arcane should have asked for that help a year ago, 2 years ago. I don't know. But that's what I took from what he was saying. So I think the lessons learned that is going to come out of this, be it already the Xbox, the studios that are under Xbox or anybody else that they acquire, it sounds like they're going to work on their internal processes as far as quality control and adding, getting resources to these teams. In other words, if you need help, say it. Don't be afraid to say you need help. And if you don't say it, we're going to come in earlier and want to see what your progress is. That's what I took from it, because hell, that's what I deal with my job every day now. You know what I mean? So I get it. And props to you for making a game and going through that process. You know, I'm wishing you nothing but success on that. And as you get closer to it, absolutely tag me in a tweet or email or something. Let me know what your game is going to be. I would love to check it out.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, hey, got more people coming up. I got a little more time. So thank you for coming up. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Looks like Ralphie bringing you up.
Hey, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, Pierce, I wanted to start off just by thanking you for real journalism. And, you know, we got content creators just spilling out all types of madness and not really being journalists. And today was one of those days that we got, you know, content creators actually providing journalism, hard questions. This is tough, but it's necessary. So I just wanted to give you your props and thanks, by the way.
No, appreciate that. And I will say, to your point, because as far as other creators and things, I'm not here to say what anyone else is doing or how they handle their content or what they say. The only thing that I can do is be true to who I am. And I would hope that people will see that it's a thing of, we weren't going into that interview of, hey, let's get Phil in a gotcha moment or let's do some silly stuff like that. It was, let's have honest questions about what's going on. And that's why I even said, I'm talking to you from a personal standpoint when it comes to some of the frustrations that the community has, because I have them too. Right. And I go in, whenever I go into an interview, I want to know stuff. So I'm going to ask the stuff that I want to know. You know what I mean? So it wasn't a thing of trying to put Phil in a bad light or put Xbox in a bad light. It was, hey, it is what it is. Right. Let's talk about what's going on. Let's talk about what has happened over the past few years. And, you know, what are the solutions going to be? Because I always try to come from it of a standpoint. If I'm going to criticize something, then provide a solution at the same time. So, you know, I appreciate his candor. I appreciate his transparency in that. I know people's mileage will vary on what he said, but it was good. If anything, it was good to talk about this stuff now, because we'll probably talk about it for the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Then let's get to the showcase. Let's see what they got.
True.
I got a question. Judge accordingly from there. Yeah, go for it.
I got a question, because see, the thing is, for me, I'm an older folk, plus 40, but
me too.
Xbox has been around forever, and
yeah,
you know, it's been great when it came out. It sparked. You know, you got Nintendo, you got Sony. Sure, they're great, but an extra new competitor as a consumer, it's, you know, we get to choose what we want to enjoy. And so my question has to do with, because my faith is gone right now. Like, I'm holding on to just listening to these interviews and hoping that something can, you know, spark my Xbox love again the way I used to have it. So I just wonder, on your side of things, you know, outside of content creating, what is it as a fan that keeps you with Xbox and that loyalty? Because it's just been something I've been kind of thinking about, just the community and how they're, I wouldn't want to say manipulated, but the narratives that they create on their own sometimes are delusional. And it's a little bit like, hey, let's be realistic about what's actually happening. And then when I see people that are holding on and keeping their faith, I'm like, all right, what is it that keeps them? So that's my question for you.
So, and I'll be happy to answer that. So I'd been saying this back in 2022. Said it on XCast on multiple occasions, that 2023 was going to be a reckoning for Xbox, that there's no more excuses after 2023. You have to start delivering quality, consistent experiences. That's pretty much what Phil was saying on the interview yesterday. What keeps me around is I still have hope that they will deliver and reach that vision that they've had. As I said before, I like all the services. I love the ecosystem that they have built over the past few years. The missing component now is consistent titles from their internal studios. It has to be this year, because who as a fan, I know, the most diehard Xbox fan, if, and I'm talking doomsday scenario here, right? Let's say Starfield comes in bad. Let's say Hellblade 2 is not good. They delay Forza again or something, right? And then we basically repeat what we just did in 2022. But now you've actually shipped a couple games and you've shipped them in a bad way. Redfall, as I said before, in my opinion, Redfall has done more damage to their reputation by shipping than it would have if they delayed it further.
I agree.
In my opinion. So look, this is just the truth of the matter. That showcase better be popping. It better be good. And when I say good, in the short term, you're showing me gameplay with release dates. And in the long term, you do show more surprises. You do give me more. You look, and I use this as an example. What the hell is Everwild? Explain it. Tell me what that game is, right? Show me Joanna Dark. Show me some Fable. Show me Avowed. Surprise me with what the hell InXile is working on, right? That's what they got to do here in the short term to kind of restore some of the faith. Starfield has to be good. It has to be. Not maybe, not kind of. I better not go on XCast or Game Attack Radio for the Starfield review and go, you know what? It was okay. 3 out of 5. That's not good enough. It's not. It has to be better than that. And then follow that up with the reputation that Turn 10 has. Turn 10 is great. Then follow that up with whatever Hellblade 2 is going to be from Ninja Theory. Realize the visions and the quality that they've been telling us we were going to get from their internal studios. That's what they have to do to right. keep my faith personally. Gotcha. You're right. And I'm sure that's what other people think too.
Appreciate it, man. Yo, have a good one, bro. I just want to send you love for the, like I said, true journalism today. It's important that we keep that integrity to, you know, open up discussions and kind of investigate what we need for the community, you know?
So. No, appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate you coming up. Thank you for the question.
Take care, brother.
Yeah, you too. Have a good day. And Phoenix, I see you and bringing you up. And you're there. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. So I'm currently at the tail end of it. First off, I want to give you, Mike, Gary, favorite crew.
That hey, can I cut you off? Can yes. I cut you off? Why don't you talk to me like you talk to me in text messages? You'll be sounding all nice and professional. Talk to me. You normally talk to me.
Currently, I'm at work. You know, I'm an HR professional. but no, you guys did an amazing job so far. And you know, I always say this. I see Mike down there. Mike, you're literally heaven sent on the podcast. But you guys did an amazing job. I think Phil did an amazing job answering the tough questions. It was a point where you wanted to be optimistic, and Phil's like, "Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, we deserve what we're getting." And I think that's the importance in leadership. To me, I feel like Phil's a leader, and here's why I say that: you don't shy away from the mistakes. You take the hit on the chin, and now you have to deliver. And kind of like what you've been saying, and I won't beat a dead horse into the ground. When Game Showcase comes out, show us what we're going to be playing and commit what we're going to be playing in the next 12 months. Like you said, when Starfield comes out, that game has to be everything that the expectations for that game is. It cannot be anything less. So just giving you shout outs and praise that you guys did an amazing, amazing job. Such a great interview. And shout out to Phil for taking it on the chin. And now it's kind of show and prove at this point, because as a community, we're tired of hearing talking. We want to see action. So that I'll say that and I'll be quiet.
No, absolutely. You're right. And I just brought Eagle Fan up because it means you can stay up here if you want. But no, I appreciate it. And, you know, like I said, it is what it is at this point. You know, this is the current state of where Xbox is. I give kudos to Phil for still doing the interview, because they easily could have said, well, we're going to reschedule this and we'll do it at Summer Game Fest or something, right? They easily could have said that and I wouldn't have blamed them. But he did it. He addressed what we obviously asked, and that's all you can ask for. So, Eagle fan, I know you're up here. How are you doing?
How's it going, Ferris?
Good, good.
Good. Hey, man. I got to hand it to you guys. Like you said, like everybody said, you know, I really didn't expect that kind of interview. And I really do appreciate Phil, you know, going up there and answering the questions, the very tough questions. A lot of stuff, you know, I've been thinking and even saying, because, you know, I've been a huge Xbox supporter, you know, and to say that a lot of us are disappointed would be an understatement, you know, putting out a game like that and some of the stuff. I've been saying, you know, there's a, you know, he reiterated there's a, you know, it all falls on him. And if the mistakes keeps on happening, you know, it's kind of like he might have to be replaced. I was really shocked that he'd say that, though. But it's kind of the reality of the stuff. You know, there's quality control and something's missing. It's obviously missing right there when he's saying when they scored it internally, it was double the digits, way lower than they thought. So it's kind of like you got to reevaluate that kind of stuff. He's got to go in. I know it's not all doesn't fall on him, but he's got to have the right people in place. And that's the biggest question I'm wondering. Does he have all those right people when he said so kind of thing? It kind of makes you wondering that he, maybe he doesn't in a way he told us that. But everything that he said, you know, is a lot of the stuff I was thinking, a lot of us has been thinking, a lot of us has been getting hit with. The only thing I disagree with him was, you know, Xbox is in third place. And that's okay. But I felt how down he was. You know, if he makes good games, it's still not going to move the needle for him. They have to just make good games. Make good games. And, you know, even if you're third place, if they make good games and third place, it just brings everything up. You know, that's the only thing Xbox needs to do. Just start making good games on time. And especially what he was talking about when Matt Booty was talking about, can they release those AAA games every quarter? And that I'm glad he brought that up, because that's one of the promises that they made. You know, just make good games. It brings everything up. We're all happy. No, you know, if Xbox is doing great, it just brings up the gaming up, you know, because a lot of us have multiple systems. I just want to play always good games. I just prefer to play most of my games on my Xbox, you know. But that's all I was looking for. I don't know what you had to say about that last part when you said about making good games. I felt how he was down and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, again, not to repeat myself too much. I just really just think it comes down to your point. Just make great games. Make great games, be consistent with it, and the chips will fall where they may, or whatever the hell the phrase is, right? Because at this point, but see, I think this is why he brought up, look, we did such a bad job the last generation to kick off the Xbox One generation that we allowed our competition to just run away with it. And you can't flip a switch overnight to magically catch up, no matter the quality of your games. But here, truth of the matter, you're damn sure ain't catching up, putting out things like Redfall. That's just the truth.
No.
You have to put out quality titles. You have to have solid hardware. You have to build out a great services around them. In other words, your ecosystem needs to be rock solid. And the thing that I see with their ecosystem right now is the lack of games from their internal studios. And this has to be the year. You heard Phil say it himself. I didn't say it. He said it. I'm tired of talking about COVID being an excuse for this, as far as what it is. There has to be a frustration level at leadership about what's going on. And yeah, there were delays and everything, but we're at the point now. And let me be crystal clear on this. Every developer that makes a game wants to make the best game they possibly can. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So that's not the excuse. It's about giving those same developers the proper tools, resources, and support that they need to reach their creative vision. Because that's the other thing he was trying to explain to the Redfall thing of, look,
yeah, the Redfall. Everybody
has their own creative vision on what they want to make, right? It is our job to help them get to that vision. At that point, the game is what the game is. But we can't have all these technical issues and bugs and crashes and missing features that are supposed to be in the game. That can't happen. They have to, like, again, let's just bring Redfall. Let's just talk about Redfall for just a second. Redfall, mm-hmm. no matter what Arkane Austin's vision was, it is Xbox and Bethesda's job to make sure, from a technical standpoint, it is running at 60 frames per second. It is their job to make sure it's not crashing and not having all these glitchy bugs in it. Let the game be able to speak for itself. And unfortunately, the game, obviously we know the game, it does not live up to what our standards wants it to be, but there's also a technical and a quality control aspect to this that doesn't live up to it either. So
again, that's what he said. The communication broke down.
Yeah.
The somewhere last spring, he said, because you know, it was Unreal Engine 4. They had the teams there. So somewhere communication broke down where last spring that they needed to start some of these things that they could have brung in some of those extra resources from Compulsion, all Rare. He was talking about these teams. Like, it seems like Coalition. It seems like Coalition's like their emergency team all the time.
Yeah. But I think it was more specific with the Coalition on this one, because they obviously have a lot of experience with Unreal.
So what I was saying, yeah, those teams were there, and it seems like Coalition is always that emergency team that comes, can help a lot of people, and that communication was missed. And that's for having the right people in the right place. I don't know. And that's the biggest evaluation he's got to look at. Does he have the right people in the right place? Marketing, everything.
Agreed. It's a look at your internal processes and making sure you have the right people in place to execute on them. I mean, it's really that simple. But hey, Eagle, I appreciate you coming up. I see a ton of people that want to come up, so I'm gonna try and cycle through this really quick, because I'm only
gonna
have more minutes. But I appreciate it. You have a good rest of the day.
Thanks.
All right. Sorry about that, a little technical difficulty. This looks like Kevin. Gonna bring you up, and just a warning, I want to try and go through these quickly. So I'm gonna try and keep it brief. It's down to one question because a ton of people are coming up. But how are you doing?
Hello? Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. How you doing?
My bad. Sorry about that. Was good, Paris. I just got finished watching the podcast while I was at work, first and foremost. Really cool to see, kind of funny, like, be at the center of something like this in this industry. You know, like, something just so big and so monumental, right? So really cool to see that as a longtime Kind of Funny best friend. Shout out to everyone here that's on Kind of Funny in the chat. But I do just want to ask you personally, like, from your perspective, after conducting that interview, were there two things that, A, was something that you were a little bit kind of caught up on and, like, concerned that, you know, you wanted to follow back on but didn't have the time to do so, and you'd like to hear on this discussion? That's one side of it. And the other side of it was going to be, what was something that was said from Phil Spencer that you think really was something that you wanted to hear and something that you really enjoyed from the interview? So basically, what was something that you weren't that you wanted to follow up on that you kind of questioned from what he said? And what was something that you were really glad to hear from that interview?
Yeah, good question on both. I think something that he touched on that I was glad to hear was it not being acceptable, the current state of them delivering games. Like, he was, you know, I was trying to be more positive about it and frame things and not in an attacking way. And then he would clarify, no, 2022 wasn't good enough, right? He's saying that. So it was good to hear him be definitive in that way. Stuff that I wanted to follow up on, like I was even saying, obviously what a lot of people have already brought up is just his comments about, you know, the having great games not being good enough. What do you mean specifically about that? I've speculated on what I think he means, but it'd be nice to hear a follow-up on that. Things that we didn't get to that I wanted to talk about was, I had scribbled a note down. I wanted to talk a little bit more about Starfield and its importance to what they're doing. We didn't get into the conversation about, there's been a lot of people in the community, and I think Mike touched on it a little bit, but there's been people in the community that feel like the console is now your second class citizen for Xbox, or like the console is no longer a priority. I wanted to kind of jump into that a little more, as well as talk about some of the struggles they're having with hardware shortages for a Series X. The fact that here we are in 2023 and I still can't walk into Best Buy and go pick up a Series X. That's a problem. Also with the custom SSD. Great idea in 2020. Oh yeah, this is cool. It costs too much. And I think at this point now we have Seagate and Western Digital that are making them. Are more vendors going? Because if more vendors are making them, right, competition is going to lower the price. So I kind of wanted to talk about that too. I also wanted to bring up the Asus, the ROG, the ROG, or whatever you call it, the Ally. I wanted to talk about that and kind of their ambitions in the handheld market as well. So trust me, I had a list. I had a long list of stuff I wanted to talk about, but we just didn't have enough time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, I shared like a similar thing where like I was really kind of like I'd open like, hey, like that was a really good move of him, like, you know, not letting any slack, you know, go by, right? Being like, nah, like this is a serious thing. Should not have launched in this way. He like took a lot of accountability towards that. I thought that was really cool from that standpoint as well. But I did peep that he brought up that Asus ROG Ally. Like, I was like, okay,
yeah.
Interesting. Like, it wasn't said prematurely. It was him that brought it up by name, verbatim. So I thought that was very interesting too. So don't want to take too much of your time. Pleasure talking to you, Paris. Great interview. Great job. I kind of funny. I see Mike in here. Blessing. Danny, shout out to y'all. Jared, my boy, was good. All right. Have a good one, Paris. Thank you.
Hey, yeah, you too. Appreciate it. And yeah, shout out to everybody from Kind of Funny in here. And obviously Danny, Gamertag Radio, that's my brother. You know, I can't do any of this stuff without them and just all their support and everything. And just, you know, just the brotherhood and the family that we have making content and being able to have an opportunity with this platform to talk to the CEO of Xbox about stuff like that. I would not have any of these opportunities without any of those gentlemen. So truly appreciate them. All right, let's keep this going. And this is Leet Sanders bringing you up. And I think you're still connecting and you're there. You're on mute. How you doing?
Hi, Paris. How you doing?
Good, good.
You can hear me okay, yeah?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Yeah, excellent. I'm from the UK, so apologize for about the CMA, guys. Really do apologize about that. as I echo Gary's things of like, can't believe that we're the cause of the problem at the moment, but hopefully it gets sorted. Anyway, great interview. I want to shout out to obviously the Kind of Funny crew and everything, because it was a fantastic interview, and it was I kind of wanted to give Phil a little bit of a hug at times, because he looked like he was going through a bit of a bad time. So but personally, I'm invested in the ecosystem of Xbox. I've got hundreds of games, like all of us, spent, you know, a lot of money. So I've got no option of, oh, I'm just going to go to the PlayStation, or I'm going to go and spend money over there. So I kind of want to touch on the 12-month thing that you brought up, and it was great to kind of get his thoughts on, you know, obviously that didn't go well and why it, you know, is probably out of their control and stuff. So what, in terms of this one, what are we hoping for? Are we hoping for this is the roadmap for the next year up until June? Or are we hoping for, right, this is what's happening in 23, 24, 25. This is the slate of games for these quarters that we are getting games for. Because he's saying that he can see it. He's saying that we've obviously got Forza, Starfield, Hellblade, which I believe is going to be the start of 24, personally. But then what are we hoping for? What are you hoping for in terms of that?
Yeah, so I brought that up because even going back to last year when they did the 12-month thing, my initial thoughts at that time was, hey, great concept if you deliver on it. They didn't deliver on it, and that's why I brought it up. And obviously you could tell that is a sticking point for him too, that they did not deliver on it. So I think, and this is why I was trying to understand, what's the balance going to be moving forward of what you're going to show now, what you're going to put release dates on, but also have an eye towards the future. And not, like here's the thing, and I'm going to answer your total question, but here's the thing that I don't want to see. I don't want to see a repeat of 2020 where you showed me a Valve in 2020 and here it is 3 years later and I still don't know anything. If you're going to show me something, keep me updated on it. I'm not saying every month. I'm not saying, you know, every quarter, but a nice check-in once a year on something. So at least I know this is still top of mind and I can start getting more information on it as you ramp up to the release process. Like I jokingly had said to Danny probably a couple years ago on the podcast, I was like, man, at the earliest we're getting Fable is 2025. Does anyone not believe that now? I think that looks kind of the case, right? So you showed that to me in 2020 and I've not heard a thing about it since. Don't do that again. If a game's going to be 4 or 5 years away from when you reveal it, either keep me updated on it or don't reveal it 4 or 5 years away. Reveal it closer to the time that it's going to come out. So that's the balance that they have to figure out on what they're going to do. You showed me Joanna Dark and she went away. Where is she? I don't know. Everwild. I don't know. Where is it? You see what I'm saying? So they got to find a cadence on that that makes sense. Now, I was going to bring PlayStation into it. PlayStation hasn't been perfect with that. They've obviously done that over the years too. But I think I even remember Sean Layden specifically talking about, look, we got to stop doing that. You know what I mean? So I hope Xbox gets into that too. I thought it was very aggressive to do the 12-month thing. But if you're going to be that aggressive, you have to 90% deliver on that. Whereas two of the major games, honestly, the two biggest games that they promised in the 12-month period will not make that 12-month period. That's a problem. You can't do that. If you're telling me I'm getting Starfield and Forza within 12 months, and really I'm getting them closer to 18 months, don't promise it. They'd have been better off doing that showcase the way they did, saying games that you can expect in 2023. And that would have worked a lot better, in my personal opinion. So that's just kind of my thought on it.
Yeah, appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. I'll leave and I'll let Lavas come in the chat.
All right. Appreciate you coming up. Thank you.
Cheers.
All right. Looks like I got, because I'm going to end this at 9, so I got about 9 more minutes here. So try and quickly go through some more people that are requesting to come up. Looks like I got Games Hero bringing you up.
All right. So I listened to the interview, right? And you made some good points and everything, right? Now I'm going to say,
but
listen. So I watched an interview, right? So you have some good points, but I want to say this, right? What Phil Spencer said about a lot of things about the quality control and everything, and I agree with him, right? Because the Redfall is unacceptable, right? I think that's probably one of the worst games they've made in a long time. But this is what I'm trying to say, right? When Microsoft makes some good games like Hi-Fi Rush and, you know, Grounded or Forza Horizon 5, yeah, I know Halo Infinite is a very controversial game, but, you know, in terms of quality, it was a really good game when launched. People have higher standards than Xbox, than the competitors, right? Because whatever Microsoft does, there's a group of people still going to hate on Xbox. Doesn't matter what they do.
Here's the thing, and I apologize for cutting you off.
Go ahead.
And I'm a curse again when I say this. Who gives a flying about those people? I don't care. I care about me. I care about what I want to play. Let me finish. Yeah. I care about what you enjoy and what you want to play. I don't care about what other people think or people that are on the internet that are just like, there are people celebrating this feel and it feels like the demise of Xbox and Redfall being bad. They love it because it's their stupid competition. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is deliver quality games consistently. That's it. That's all that I'm honestly looking for Xbox. I don't worry about what other people think.
No, that's true. That's true. Because I said it again, right? Redfall is unacceptable, right? Because there's no way you can ship a $70 game that is incomplete, it's 30 frames a second. And don't get me wrong, the concept is actually good, but the execution is really bad. Now, this is my problem, right? Is that Microsoft, I don't think they have a problem with leadership. I think that they just need to stop making these games as a service and just focus on a complete game when it comes out. Then you add more to it. Like Sea of Thieves, right? Look, Sea of Thieves, when it first came out, it was trash. But look at what happened over the years. It's actually a very good game. So it's just that when Microsoft does something like in their own vision, because the problem is that a lot of people want Microsoft to make like Sony games or like complete games, but it's just that what Phil Spencer in the interview says that we're going to fix Redfall later, but why did you ship this in the first place? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Like I said, I'm here. Look, I get what you're saying, and as I said previously, Redfall would have been, they'd have been better off delaying that game.
Yeah, but if you delay the game like 3 months, it's still going to go to fix the core game.
You don't hear me saying 3 months. He even said that in an interview, and I so badly want to chime in and go, delay it another year if that's what you
need. This year should get delayed like 3 years, dude. Like, that's how bad it is, dude.
Because whatever the time frame. My point on it is this, and I do have to move on because I only got a few more minutes. My point is this. Do not release games that are feature incomplete or that are basically in a broken state. If they need, and then get, this is the real world, this business, there's a lot of money at stake. I understand all of that. But let's take it to Cyberpunk as an example. It is crystal clear that game needed another 12 to 18 months before it came out. I look at Redfall, I think the same exact thing. And that's what I'm saying. And we're not in those rooms. We're not the decision makers. I will never know the truth on why that game came out when it did. All I know is this is a bad representation of what Xbox Game Studios is trying to do.
Paris. Also, you need to tell Phil Spencer to make more physical copies of the games. Because that's what's upsetting. I don't understand why Microsoft...
Respectfully, that is not something I'm going to say to Phil Spencer. Because we're in it. Because your physical disc is nothing but a digital copy that is put on your hard drive anyways. So I'm the wrong person to talk about physical games because they don't exist.
Because I really love physical copy because Nintendo and Sony does provide more physical copies. Because I'm a collector, so... You know, it's unsuccessful because I really want a physical copy of Hi-Fi Rush and everything.
Understood. I get that. But like I said, I'm definitely not the person to talk to them.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right, good interview. Appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate it. You have a good day. All right. I am at the 2-minute mark here, so I'm going to bring up one more person and then I'm going to be out of here. And Jason, I'm bringing you up. I see you on Twitter all the time. Bringing you up. Yep. And you should be there. How are you doing?
Hey, Paris. How's it going? Just finished listening to the interview. Great job with the whole XCast team. I'm going to be quick. I just want to reiterate on something that Gary had brought up that it's always bad to see when a game falters. And it's not like a bad sign just for Xbox, but it's a bad sign for PlayStation and Nintendo as well. Like, I don't want Redfall to be, like, the bad standard of not how to do a live service co-op game. Like, the gold standard, you would say, is, like, Borderlands. And now the bad standard is Redfall, unfortunately. And I worry, like, what's going to happen with other studios. Like, they're going to look at how Redfall came out and how they... And, like, what PlayStation's got, like, all those live service games coming up. Like, are they going to sit back now and, like, take another look and, like, not repeat what Redfall did with its launch, you know?
You would hope so, right? But we've been repeating the cycle of lessons learned from various type of games over the past few years where we're like, well, like, hopefully we'll do that again, and then they do it again. So as much as I hope this is the last time, I got a feeling it won't be. And I'm not even saying this necessarily from an Xbox standpoint. I'm just saying from an industry standpoint, we seem to keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. Maybe this becomes the final straw. I hope so. I genuinely, truly, honestly do hope so. But I'm not confident that that's going to be the case.
Yeah. And the other thing I worry, though, that this is going to be another dead IP. And like, I don't want that to happen. Like, kind of like with Days Gone with PlayStation, when they released that game hot and it had needed patches and patches, and it's like, well, they're not going to move forward on a Days Gone 2. Like, I don't want Arkane to like abandon Redfall down the road and like say, oh, well, this has like the perception that, well, if they announced Redfall 2, like, Xbox community is going to be like, oh, well, show me what you have to prove, you know?
No, I get what you're saying. And that's just the thing. I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's just one of the things.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's fine. It's just a thing. I don't really have an answer to that other than I'm aligned with you on a lot of that stuff. It's just when I look at Redfall, and this is just me being brutally honest, I don't see a path to redemption today. But we're less than a week since this game is out. Hopefully that changes. I don't, as we sit here today, I know Phil said they're still going to be committed to it. And, you know, Sea of Thieves is obviously a success story that they had. But man, would anybody, but like I said, we're less than a week out. But as we sit here today, would anybody be excited about a Redfall 2? Don't think so. With anybody looking at them coming out a year from now with this big update, I mean, it would take a complete overhaul of that game to get people excited about it. I just don't know. I just don't know if it's worth the effort to do so. You might just have to chalk this one up to, hey, it is what it is, and you move on, and you let Arkane move on to doing something. Like, let me say this real quick. You let Arkane move on to doing something that they're good at, but at the same time, as even Phil said, you want these companies to take risk, or these developers to take risk and do things out of the box that they may not necessarily have done before. That happens.
Exactly.
Let's just talk CD Projekt Red as an example. CD Projekt Red had absolutely no experience doing open world game, but they did one and became The Witcher 3, which is one of the greatest games ever made. Obviously, they followed that up with Cyberpunk, and they had some lessons learned that came out of that. But again, to another point, talking about Cyberpunk, I'm excited for Phantom Liberty, but Cyberpunk, like it or not, like, I play Cyberpunk right now. I've been replaying it and doing fun things. I think the game is in a good place, but it has a reputation from the way that it launched in 2020. Battlefield 2042 is another one that has a reputation with the way that it launched, right? Halo Infinite Go play Halo Infinite multiplayer right now. It's good. But you wouldn't know that. No one thinks that, because it has a reputation. So to the thing that I was saying to Phil, and this is just, again, an industry problem. Stop releasing these games feature incomplete or in such a buggy state that perception is reality. You only get one chance at a first impression. And the problem that we're having right now is these first impressions, man, have not been good on some of these games. And it hurts the game long term. Versus maybe if you give it another 6 months, 12 months, get it in a good enough state. This is why Starfield is so important for them, as I wrap this up. Starfield is so important for them that its first impression has to be good. I don't need a scroll wall of text talking about we'll do better and we're going to come out with this patch. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. No. The game has to come out feature complete and in a mostly bug-free state, because this is just the reality. There's going to be some bugs. We know that, but not enough that it detracts away from the experience. And I think that's the point. That's where game development as a whole has to get, where when are we making the decision to ship something that we feel good about? Not, well, we'll fix it along the way. We're spending way too much damn money on these games to fix it along the way. It has to come out. When I was a kid, I popped my NES cartridge in and I'm playing Mario 3. I wasn't waiting on no damn patch, because guess what? The internet didn't exist. There was no way they were going to patch it. They had to make sure Super Mario Bros. 3 released in a complete state. And I understand game development is way more complex now than it was back then, but you get the point. Yes, development cycles are longer now. Yes, they're more complex. Yes, there are more teams that are working on these games. But at the end of the day, I'm the consumer. I'm the one that's spending the $70. I'm the one that's picking up the controller to play. And I have an expectation when I play these games. Redfall did not live up to any of them. And that's the problem. That game should have never shipped in the state that it's in. I don't care what nobody says. That's my personal opinion. It needed more time. You notice WB, after that state of play for Suicide Squad, they saw what we were saying. There was like, delay it.
Yeah.
Because they know that
it's probably gonna hurt their bottom line. State.
Exactly. Imagine if Yeah, because think about it. Suicide Squad's supposed to be out right now. That's crazy. Again, no, nobody wanted that. So now it's going back in the oven to fix. Gotham Knights is another one that just came from Warner Brothers. Look how that launched. Hurt his reputation. Nobody's talking about it, wanting to play it. And that's what Xbox cannot let happen with Starfield, Forza, and we assume Hellblade 2 the rest of this year. Because if they do, it is going to hurt the entire Xbox Game Studios reputation long term. And everything that Phil was talking about not being able to catch up with PlayStation and all this stuff, yep, you won't. Because no one will trust the product that is coming from your studios. You have to deliver quality experience. You just do. Period. So I hope that answered it. I know I got a little rambly.
Yeah, yeah. You've answered everything.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paris.
No, I appreciate it. You too. All right. So I went over a little time. I got to get ready for a big meeting that I have. So I know I didn't get to everybody. Sumo, I saw you down there. I was not ignoring you. Definitely want to have a dialogue with you at some point. But I appreciate everybody coming up. I appreciate all the comments, everything. But yeah, I'll do this again soon. But I know Kind of Funny is going to talk about the Phil interview. I'm going to be in the middle of another meeting. So that's why I kind of wanted to just do this. So you know, I could kind of get my two cents out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.